You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
What does motion sound like? With Kizikans free shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
It's the Score North Twin Show.
Score North Extra Innings live from Target Field for Game 1 of the World Series. Just kidding. It's the Twins and White Sox here from Target Field. The two perennial powerhouses in the American League Central. What's going on, everyone? My name is Declan Goff. Hit that subscribe button. That's AJ Fredrickson. This is Score North Extra Innings. You can expect extra innings content from every Twins home game, select road games as well. And even though the Twins have gotten off to a brutal start, I'm not slowing down. I won't tap out yet. So hit that subscribe button. Hit the like button. I still plan to be here all season. Age, the Twins host the Whiteys for four games here today. One of the more weaker assembled baseball teams of our lifetime, but they get the Twins. I saw some White Sox reporters leaving to go down to their access for Chicago, and I don't think they were joking when they said this is actually could be a get-right series for the White Sox. That's also where this has been. This is also a get-right series potentially for the White Sox. That's where we're at right now in the season.
What an insult to the Twins. And that, like you said, that's where this season is at. That's the state of the season. I will say, the Twins better count their stars, bless their stars that the Timberwolves won this past weekend, because if that series read 0-1, it was just pure hatred and negativity around the state, we would have loaded up today and been firing on all cylinders at this team. At least I would have been. But they've tempered my anger, they've tempered my angst, and I see, Dex, a series of opportunity for the Twins. A series of opportunity, because if you don't take 3 or 4, I mean, and I'm not going to give you a pat on the back if you take 4 or 4 from this team, because frankly, you probably should. Anything less than 3, we need to have a serious conversation. We need to have a seance, you know, get a pastor in here, do an exorcist type thing on this season, because this start so far has been horrendous. But this is a series where I know that you just said that it's a get right one for the White Sox, and maybe it sure is. They haven't tweeted a final score graphic for like a week now. Keep that in mind. Okay, their graphic designer was just like, this team is not worth it. Yeah, they're good. So the Twins themselves need to go ahead, get things set. And I mean, this is the start of what should be a positive series. Get us all back in a good mind frame, even if it's still, you know, just a rose colored glasses sort of thing with it being the White Sox. But any wins at this point are still wins in the win column. And that's going to help down the road.
I love how you notice those social media things, because I also try to like snoop on some of those teams. Some of the good teams are obviously really good at social media, and some teams are just like, you know what, we're good. We're not even gonna let everyone know that this L took place. So yeah, you mentioned it, Age. A potential get right series 2 for the Twins after stumbling out of the gate here for the first 19-20 games. And man, if you can take 3 or 4, all right, that's chunk number 1. You can go to the Angels, maybe take 2 of 3, and things start to pick up a little bit. That's really a lot. What the Twins have to figure out here is if they continue to play this way, I mean, they're going to be out of this division by the time May 1st rolls around. So a big potential series coming up here. Let's also talk about, though, Max Kepler. He is back with the Twins. So he went on the IL. He fouled a ball off his knee on opening day, and now he is back in the lineup. I will say Max is a very interesting cat. He's a weird duck to read. He definitely beats to the own drum of Max and is cut from his own cloth. But today was very chipper. Was very excited, even joked like, oh my God, there's a lot of people here today, as in like the reporters that wanted to talk to him. So he'll bat fifth, he'll play right field, at least get some type of normalcy kind of back in the Twins lineup. It was weird, Age. He mentioned that there was like a chip of his bone like swirling around his leg when they got an MRI. Now, that like, it wasn't like a bone chip where they had to like go in and remove it, and he even joked, like, it's probably now somewhere in his ankle because gravity. But very interesting way of looking at the leg. I will say I watched him take batting practice just right before we flipped the mics on here. And he's obviously a big Mac Miller fan, so there's a ton of Mac Miller being played at the ballpark. He's kind of going even to the opposite field, which is very rare for Max. He's very pole happy, so I'm not like banking that Max Kepler will save the Twins lineup and get this team completely out of its funk. But I will say getting a guy back that should be in the middle of the order that you were relying upon should hopefully help the Twins get some wins and get some runs this series.
Yeah, and maybe, you know, maybe that's just a familiar face, a guy kind of returning. Maybe he knows something that we don't, and that's why the chipperness was there. Maybe he kind of, while away from the team, had a chance to really get in the film room, work on some things, and just kind of reevaluate his game. And, you know, maybe he knows something that they're playing their cards close to the chest of, we like our odds today, and frankly, they should. Maybe that says, hey, we know we have to win some ball games here, but Max Kepler back in the lineup. I mean, this is a guy that's been around here what feels like now for a decade or so. Like it feels like Max Kepler's been on a lineup card for the Twins now since like 2010. I know that's not accurate in any sense of the word, but like it feels like he's been around forever. That's the type of guy you need to step up. And I think the last time you and I did one of these extra inning shows was who's going to step up? Who's going to take the reins? Who's going to drive the chariot? Why not Max Kepler? I mean, frankly, if they're Clydesdales, isn't that a German horse? So he should be
something
familiar.
Like that.
Something like
stay
that.
Stay away from those. You know, I'm terrified. You know, I'm terrified of horses, right?
Yeah, that's
like legitimately terrified of horses.
That's why I went.
Yeah, I want nothing to do with the Clydesdale or even type of comparison. Horses scare. Phobia I have. I'm a pretty normal guy. I got a couple weird things. Horses is one of them. But yeah, if Kepler can kind of, you know, bat in the middle of the lineup and be the Max Kepler that he was in the second half of last year, because I mean, you got to remember, age the first half of last year. I mean, I thought we were watching the end of Max Kepler. I thought we were watching a guy that was maybe going to be traded not just for prospect returns, but traded for parts or DFA'd, and then something clicked in the second half, just like the rest of the Twins lineup. He turns things around, he looks a lot better, and he ends up being one of their best hitters in the second half on. So, yeah, I mean, they need Max Kepler. This is a big-time moment for them, and they're stacking a ton of lefties on Monday at the top half of their order. They have shook up their lineup. We'll get to that here in just a little bit. Shake up their lineup as in they've changed the leadoff hitter, but Max Kepler definitely needs to show something and get something going here today. It should go without being said against the White Sox that if anyone has been struggling, this is your get-right series to raise that average above the Mendoza.
And for a team to go up against the White Sox, anybody that's been struggling, I'd say red flag, sound the alarm if somebody continues to struggle this series, because that tells you something fundamentally is just not right. And probably, just to, you know, put it out there, you don't belong in a big league lineup if you're struggling so far this season and then you can't get right against this White Sox team. Now, granted, They have some decent pieces. Like they have a Garrett Crochet, and I know that guy can throw the ball 150 miles per hour from the left-handed side. I get it. But for the most part, this team is like a triple-A club. Like they have three wins, if I'm correct here on the season at this point of the year. Like,
and have been shut out like six times, I think. I think it's six or seven. Yeah, it's bad.
They're not like I don't know. Bad news bears bad at the start. Maybe
they're
they
close,
are.
They're close.
But they're close. They would give the Bears would give them a run for their money is what I would say right now. So,
yeah.
This is about as get right as it can be. And if I am the coaching staff, if I'm anybody that doesn't thrive or show like a breath of fresh air this series, I'm pulling aside and having a serious conversation about the future that they have, at least for a while. I understand some sort of assignment, some sort of let's, you know, get you down the minors, refresh, and just kind of get that confidence back. But you need some of your bigger guys, especially at the top of that order, to step up today.
Yeah, so let's talk a little bit more about the lineup here before I get to the note about Barwin being sent down. So, yeah, Alex Kirilloff's going to go up to the leadoff spot. Puts Edward Julian Baxley in the two hole. I asked Bracco about, you know, just that decision, even though I kind of know the rhetorical answer and rhetorical question I'm asking him. And, you know, he joked, you know, maybe you put Eddie in a blender, Edward Julian, that is, in a blender. You shake him around a little bit. Maybe it starts to get him going. You know, Kirilloff's been one of their most productive hitters. Why not put him at the top of your order? You're facing a right-handed hitter tonight. He, you know, Rocco even acknowledged, like, I wish I had a better scientific answer to get give you a better answer to that question. But, I mean, this Twins lineup is struggling. They're facing one of the worst teams in baseball. You know, Julian has taken – there's been some blips that looks like, oh, maybe there's something that is now going to spark him to the Edward Julian of 2023. But right now he's still been struggling a little bit. So I guess you put Alex Kirilloff at the top of the order, who's been your most productive hitter, and you put those guys at the top. Hopefully they pull one out of the seats, or at least they get on base. The lefties can start driving guys in. But yeah, a little bit of a shakeup, a little bit of a lineup tweak here today, too. We'll see if that also takes place against other right-handed pitchers. But the first time that Edward Julian is not leading off against a righty, I believe, this season.
Other than Julian at the top half of this lineup, like, for the most part, those guys are pulling their weight. It's kind of that back half, Willie Castro, Carlos Santana, who... Carlos Santana, if you don't mind... This is your veteran signing. This was your kind of like splash interest signing. And this is a guy that hits on both sides of the plate. And if my memory serves correct, he was sat not once, but 2 days in a row against the Tigers.
Yeah. The Orioles.
The Orioles. Thank you. The Orioles.
Yeah. Baltimore or Detroit. Yeah.
You didn't bring him in for your fielding. You didn't bring him in for his like young athleticism because he doesn't have that. He's a veteran guy who's been around the league. He should be a guy that can be in this locker room, kind of navigating the turbulence that is the start of the season. But most importantly, he's a switch hitter that should be able to be in your lineup most days. Like, I believe he's DHing today, which, you know, that's where I expect him a lot of the time if he's not at first base. So, he needs to kind of turn things around, show me a little life, because right now it looks like, what, $5 million wasted dollars by this Twins payroll, one that they advertised as slashing pretty heavily. So that seems like a pretty poor spend at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, so I will say they definitely did bring him in for, I mean, his defense is known, and he took a big step last year defensively. Alex Kirilloff's kind of a work in progress defensively with his glove. Mm-hmm. But you're not wrong that he's been probably the most disappointing player, well, one of the most more disappointing players, and him and Kyle Farmer have been, I mean, if you take both those guys' statistics, it is horrendous. So both those veterans have been really, really bad to start the year. You know, they might be on borrowed time to a degree. I don't know if they'll just eat the money and say goodbye to them. But I mean, at this point, they're liabilities in the lineup. And if they cannot figure something out sooner rather than later, then yeah, there's more difficult decisions have to be made, and you have to cut out a veteran piece. I mean, I joke about this to a degree, but like Carlos Santana gets a corner locker. There's only four corner lockers here at Target Field. There's one for the catcher in Vasquez. There's one for Carlos Santana. There's one for Buxton. And there's one for Carlos Correa. So, I mean, he's definitely, you know, a well-respected veteran, but he's also 38 years old, and he might just be hitting a cliff. You know, this isn't even a guy not trying hard enough. I'm not questioning at all his work ethic or the way he's going about things. This just might be a guy that is on borrowed time. So, yeah, there's a lot of dudes to your point, age, if they can't figure it out against this team offensively, oh God, I mean, cross your fingers, say your prayers, do whatever you can to get your bat working.
This is Tom Bernard. Can't get enough of sports talk with Phil Mackey and Judd Zolgad? Tune in to the new Tom Bernard Show podcast Monday through Friday as Phil and Judd join me to discuss the latest sports headlines and whatever else comes to mind.
Just download the Tom Bernard Show app wherever you get your podcasts or visit TomBernardShow.com. It's another way to get more from me and Judd talking sports and having fun with Tom, and it's all at your fingertips. Download the Tom Bernard Show app now and join the conversation.
And kind of on the opposite end of that spectrum, he's batting, ninth today, Austin Martin. He had the quote that I saw after his first homer, which was, "I don't really care about the personal accolades. I don't play for the Minnesota Austin Martins." Even though that would be a fantastic promo night thing.
I agree.
He plays for the Minnesota Twins. Mentally, that tells me I don't care. This season so far has been not what we want. Maybe if they were above 500, sure, we can celebrate. We can talk about how, you know, getting to this point in his career is a major accomplishment as a baseball player and all this stuff. But that tells me, hey, he likes to win. He wants to win. He needs to win. He wants this team to perform better. He doesn't like being on a team that is, it had as high of expectations, especially after seeing what this team did last year in the playoffs. But I question whether or not he needs to get bumped up a little bit here. Maybe it's a strategic move by Rocco to have him at the end of the order there, so that immediately if he gets on base, you flip over and you have those higher talented batters at the top of the order to kind of knock him around, because he is speedy. He's been a pinch running option at multiple points so far this season since being called up. But maybe your thoughts, because I know you see your eyes on him a lot more than maybe say I do. Thoughts on Austin Martin, who right now, I mean, he's batting 268. I mean, it's a relatively small sample size compared to some, but batting ninth, how does he stay at the bottom?
So I think with Kepler's return to the lineup and moving up Kirloff, you know, they've batted Martin fifth. I think they batted him fifth yesterday, but he's also not a prototypical five hitter. You know, he is a guy who's going to be getting on base at a good amount. He's going to foul off a ton of pitches, but he doesn't really have maybe the power. I know he had his first home run yesterday, which was awesome, but he doesn't really have the power prowess to bat in the middle of the order. I like him maybe at a one or two, or obviously then a nine spot to roll over to the lefties. He's going to take a lot of good competitive at-bats. That's not your prototypical nine hitter. Rocco really likes what he's been able to bring. I mean, outside of Kirloff and Ryan Jeffers, I'd say, Austin Martin has been their third most consistent hitter this season, which is pretty wild, because if that was the case going into the year, I think we would all say, well, what went wrong? Why is Austin Martin your third most reliable hitter in the lineup? But Rocco likes him. And yeah, he can kind of bat in a lot of different spots. I just don't know if they like him in the middle of the order necessarily, because I don't think that is his strength. But he's going to be a guy that takes competitive at-bats and is not going to be swinging out of his shoes, and Rocco has definitely been a big fan of him.
Okay, that's cool to know that it's not like we're trying to hide him at the back or whatever, but it's more just like that's just kind of where he fits in. We believe in him. We're fans of him. That it's more of a strategic thing. That's what I was curious about, so thank you.
Yeah, okay, so on the pitching front, Louis Varland was optioned to AAA after four pretty bad starts, and Rocco said that Louis took the news pretty hard. Now, it was needed. Like, Louis wasn't surprised he was sent down by any means, because he was well aware of his struggles. And he's going to remain a starter with the St. Paul Saints. So this will not be a guy that transitions right back to the bullpen. You know, you kind of want to build up a guy. It's easier to build up a guy from a starter into a reliever than the inverse. And, you know, I'll say that, you know, the Twins bullpen, at least the Major League one, has been really good. So it's, I don't think this is even a fact of, like, yes, I think Louis Varland as a major leaguer is a really good arm in the bullpen. That is the truth. But also, the Twins bullpen is, in my opinion, playing so well right now, that pitching so well right now, that Louis Varland really doesn't fit in that plans either. So he's going to go down to St. Paul. He's going to remain a starter for a bit. They want him to work on a bunch of things. They hope they don't have to rely upon him, you know, sooner rather than later, because, you know, he's going to be someone that wants to tweak things and wants to get right down in AAA, and maybe eventually, you know, they start making that transition into the bullpen, but that's not part of the plans, at least right now. So Louis Varland goes down to AAA St. Paul, and that's Ronnie Henriquez, I believe it's pronounced. He was called up. Okay. Now, he was a reliever with the Saints and was decently effective. He was a starter last season, I believe, at AA. So I don't really know, and it wasn't really official necessarily, who will take his spot, Varland's spot, in the rotation, and they won't need that fifth starter until Friday when they take game one of the road trip in Los Angeles against the Angels. So TBD on who replaces him. It certainly could be Henriquez. It could be Cole Sands, who has history starting, but right now has been a really effective bullpen arm. Could be just a bullpen game as they try to figure things out. I know Royce predicted Randy Dobnak on chain on Monday. The Dobber did throw yesterday for St. Paul. So he is in line to potentially then pitch on Friday. They could hold back Simeon Woods Richardson from a start, who is also scheduled to start in St. Paul on Thursday, but that might be pushed back. So fifth starter, a little bit still up in the air right now as they try to figure that out. But Louis Varland sent down, obviously been a disappointing, you know, first four starts for him. I still see a really good big leaguer in there, just probably isn't as a starting pitcher.
Yeah, and that, you got to feel bad a little bit for the guy, because he seems like a guy that mentally kind of, he's been working very hard for it. I'm curious as to how this either one can motivate him and kind of get him in that headspace of, okay, this is the fuel to get back to the big league, get back to the big club. Or is it a other side of the coin where it's, this is a blow. He really can't regroup mentally. What is this? It kind of is a blow to the confidence. He goes down there, he's questioning himself, and all of a sudden AAA guys maybe are giving him the same outings that he had up here with the Twins, and all of a sudden everything just kind of spirals in the wrong direction. I hope it's the first option rather than the second, because Louis Varland, I mean, his pitch mix, you like it. We've seen him at times flash that he could be an effective big league pitcher. I know from my understanding, he kind of has had the goal of being that starter and, you know, getting on the mound in the first inning, you might have to open up your options, Louis. You might have to think, hey, it's going to have to be a reliever bout for me, a reliever position for me here moving forward. And little steps working your way back up. And if it does work out, maybe the starting role's back in play. But for right now, your goal should be a solid, effective bullpen arm that maybe burns a couple innings for this club.
I think also age is probably him being, you know, a Minnesota native, growing up a Twins fan. Like, there's definitely a lot of added pressure there that you 100% put on yourself as making your own big league club that you grew up watching and whatnot. So, yeah, I think there is some mental parts to his game he's got to figure out. But I would say, you know, physically, his pitches have a lot of life. He's got a heavy fastball. It's just right now making some minor tweaks, and he's going to be back up here. I don't know. It probably won't be soon. But he'll be back up here, in my opinion, by the summer, if not maybe a little sooner. But he's going to be an effective major league reliever. That's where I think he'll definitely try to make some adjustments. And if he's able to do that, I think he'll be pretty good. Extra innings content here. Declan Goff, that's A.J. Fredrickson. I should say. Twins getting the White Sox for four games here at Target Field. Game four of the seven-game road trip. Oh, last note. Because it is Bark at the Park Day here today at Target Field, so all the dogs will be roaming around, and that's where I'm actually glad. Gates are probably going to open here in the next, like, 15, 20 minutes as I record this at, like, 4:45 p.m. Central Time, about a little less than 2 hours before first pitch. So it'll be dog day. But also, Chris Paddock, unbelievable outfit today. Unbelievable outfit. He had the 10-gallon hat. He had, like, the neckerchief, what is it called?
Like the ascot almost, or like what are we talking here?
It was like a band. It wasn't like the Texas tie. It was like
a neckerchief.
Yeah, sure. I think that's what it's called. As a Midwest boy who, you know, likes just normal vanilla white guy things, I was very confused on what it was. But he looked like a sheriff from Red Dead Redemption is what I'm trying to say. He literally looked, I know his nickname is the sheriff, but he lived, if you were to poll, what does that guy do? If you saw his outfit, I don't think you would have said he's a professional Major League Baseball pitcher. And I mean that as a compliment. I don't mean that as a disrespect to Chris Paddock. He literally looked badass. Very impressive outfit. We'll see if that translates to a good outing on Monday.
We're going to need to have you establish like an unwritten competition with him where next time you run into him, you have a slightly bigger hat and slightly bigger bandana tied around your neck. To where at a certain point you may just get thrown out of the clubhouse. Who knows?
That's 100% in the possibility of cards if that starts to take place. And hey, if this season goes off the rails, I mean, I'm willing to try just about anything for content. So that's 100% a possibility. That's totally a possibility. Hit that subscribe button. Hit that like button on this video. A 5-star rating on Apple, Spotify, Score North app. Appreciate that. This is Score North Extra Innings. You can expect content from every home game. For night games, like you're going to see for the first three games this series, you can expect content before first pitch. Thursday, which is an afternoon game, and also the day of the first round of the NFL draft, you can expect content after first pitch, or after the game, I should say. So that's kind of the plan for extra innings. We're still going to be locked and loaded right here, so hit that subscribe button. We appreciate you. This has been Score North Extra Innings.